women are making groundbreaking and invaluable contributions in tech and engineering. These domains, historically dominated by men, are witnessing a rise of exceptional women leaders championing transformative change and redefining the narrative. In this episode, I have the privilege of sitting with Adora Nwodo, a game changer in the industry whose contributions are widely celebrated and has inspired a lot of women to get into tech and excel. Enjoy today's episode. Okay, so hello everyone and welcome to the Tech Self Podcast, where we navigate today's tech wave one electrifying conversation at a time. I am your host, Raymond Cluche, and today I have the honor of hosting a brilliant lady in our tech space. It's actually a huge honor for me to have her here. Today we have Adora, the ever effulgent, ever techie, ever brilliant, ever radiant Adora, who is on social media shining her light as a woman in the tech space on the Tech Self Podcast. So Adora, thank you so much for making time to join us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And we've been planning this podcast for months at this point, and it's nice to be finally getting it done.
Have no idea. I am starstruck. You have no idea. Please help me with your surname. No. So Adora Nwodo. All right. Did I get it right?
Nwodo.
Nwodo. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll just skip to
actually pronounce it like the N is in there.
Okay. So Nwodo. Okay. I'll practice it a little bit more. Anyways, thank you so much. So I want you to, in the shortest amount of time, you know, give us a brief background of who you are, what you do, and then we can get into the details of today's conversation.
Okay. Who am I? My name is Adora. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I'm Nigerian. I'm in my 20s. Right?
A lady doesn't tell her age, we know, so we'll keep that at it.
My age is all over the internet, to be fair, if you Google.
Okay.
It, but like, I'm Nigerian, I'm in my 20s, I'm a software engineer, I'm a senior software engineer, currently working around, you know, cloud infrastructure as well as developer platforms. I am a non-profit founder. I have books that I have written on the cloud as well. And I'm a digital creator. I'm a global speaker. Like, I speak across like different conferences in different parts of the world. Earlier this year, I counted the number of conferences I had spoken at, and it was over 120. And this was earlier this year. So I'm guessing like by right now, it's a lot more than 120.
Right.
Obviously, I'm talking physical and virtual conferences.
Right.
Just physical.
Right.
But it's been a lot, and it's been amazing. That's pretty much, there's a lot more to me, right? Like, I'm a DJ. I recently put out a cover album as well.
Right.
I don't want to say I sing, because I don't know if I'm going to do it again. But I did it. So yeah, like I'm a very onion layered lady.
And a brilliant one at that, trust me.
Thank you. But then there's also the thing of onions making you cry. So.
Ooh, I understand. So the bits and pieces that we don't get to see outside the typical social media part, I know what you mean by that. First and foremost, I'd like to first, you know, say happy birthday or happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I saw your pictures.
You were radiant on social media. It was just so beautiful. And also, congratulations on your business diploma from Stanford. I believe it's also a very, very laudable thing you have done. And you deserve all the congratulations. So, Twale, to you.
Thank you. You've done amazing.
Okay. For me, when I saw you on social media, I was just intrigued. And I think the first time I got to know about you was your book. I knew about the cloud some time back, and I just knew it was, you know, that infrastructure up there. The only thing I knew was, at the time, I think it was infrastructure as a service. We learned basic cloud stuff. But to know that one has, you know, sat down, written a book, and sharing the concepts, and is all over speaking, I was like, who is this lady? And like you said, you look young. You don't look an age over 16, you know? You just look young and you're all over. And I was like, who is this lady? So I started to drill down a little bit, saw you on social media, saw you on Twitter, saw you on Instagram, saw you on LinkedIn, finally connected with you, accepted. I was so excited. I was like, I need to speak with her. So I want you to, you know, just walk us through your tech journey. I know bits and pieces, but I believe it would be nice to hear from you. Like, how did you get into this tech journey? Were you just one of those brainy people that was doing science and then your parents were like, okay, you just go and become an engineer and then you chose to be in this tech space, or there's a backstory that we don't know of?
I mean, like, to be fair, my parents actually wanted me to study law. I think I've said this story on social media many times.
Right.
I got introduced to tech because I got introduced to computers.
Mm.
So I started liking tech because I started liking computers. And because I started liking computers, I was introduced to the internet at a very early age. Like, I was on the early social media, the High Fives, the MySpace, the
Yahoo computers.
I had all of that. And obviously, being introduced to the internet at that time, I also sort of figured what programming was around that time. And I was that child that used programming to check that my math assignment was correct, because it's crazy how your parents wouldn't buy you a calculator, but then they'll buy you a computer. And I used to be that person, right? And it was fun. I don't know whether my love for math made me like programming better because I was using programming to validate what I was doing with math, or my love for programming made me like math more. I don't know what it was. Kind of like a chicken and egg situation. Because up till now, I still can't decide. But I know that I was that person that grew up loving math so much.
Right.
And liking programming as well.
Right.
And I just used to tell myself that I wanted to be a programmer, and whatever it is that I did with my career, I wanted it to be in front of computers and I wanted to play with computers. Obviously, this meant that I took all my computing or computer classes very seriously. So in primary school, I took my computer studies classes very seriously. In secondary school, I took my ICT classes very seriously. Luckily for me, I went to a school that I had laptops in school. Like, I had a laptop in school in secondary school. So early on, I was still already using my laptop for a bunch of, like, my different computer lessons. I was writing HTML and CSS as early as secondary school and things like that. So it just made it, like, pretty easy. And up until that point, obviously, I was that child that was very vocal. I was that child that would always talk, would always argue, used to go for all the debates, used to do all the things. And obviously, because of that, everybody just used to call me their lawyer. And my dad was like, oh, you study law. And you study law. And I'm like, I'll study law. Okay. I mean, like, he sort of did the same thing with my brothers as well. He was like, oh, you study medicine, I'll set you up. You go and study law. And obviously, my brothers, they went to go and do what they wanted to do. But then I had him too. No, I actually pity the man, because it's like nobody really did what he wanted us to do. But I mean, he's proud of us now and he's happy. But like at the time, it wasn't easy, because you study law, you study law. SS1, I joined science class. And obviously at that point, you know that I can't do law.
Right.
When I joined science class, he still had some hope, because he was like, oh, okay, maybe you go study engineering or you go study medicine.
Right.
And then SS3, I came and I said, oh, I want to do computer science. And it was like a whole thing in my house, because he was like, do computer engineering instead. I said, no, sir, I'm not doing. And this was because I had spoken to, so my eldest brother had a friend who was in MIT at the time.
Right.
And I had spoken to him about, like, the kind of career I wanted to have, what I wanted to do.
Right.
And he was like, oh, it sounds like it's computer science, right? And I had also, like, you know, spoken to him about, oh, computer science versus computer engineering.
Right.
And I was very clear. And I had also told my mom, and you know, mothers, they always have somebody. They always know somebody. So my mom had a friend that had a daughter
Okay.
studying computer science in Unilag at the time. right? So I just looked at everything, and based on the, in quotes, little research I had done in whatever capacity I could do it,
right,
I just knew that computer science was exactly what I wanted based on everything that I had described to everybody and what my current situation was.
Right.
So when my dad was like, oh, do computer engineering, I said, no, that's not happening. And we had a fight,
right?
And I mean, fast forward to a couple of years later, he's one of my biggest fans, right? He came for my book launch and he just kept on singing my praises. And I'm like, oh, now you can sing my praises. Wow.
I know, times have changed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. I know that we, like, where we are from. So she's Nigerian, I'm Ghanaian. We actually brothers, so we're siblings, but then we tend to have a bit of rivalry going on here and there. But we'll put that banter down for another day. But most of the time, parents tend to want to choose careers for their African kids, and it's a huge challenge. And sometimes when you oppose, there's this level of you're being disrespectful, and they could get into like a fight like you did. But then when they get to the other side, when they see that, you know what, passion was driving you and you got there, then they see how much of, you know, a beautiful journey you have been on. I know that the tech industry, you know, is heavily male dominated, and I'm sure it mostly starts from high school. So I want to know, what was your high school like in terms of leading to you reading computer science? Was your class full of more guys than girls? Were you in a mixed school or a girls' school? What was it like leading from SS all through to reading your computer science degree, in terms of the dynamics of guys in the class, or like the balance of genders in the class, and how did you deal with it?
What was my high school like? I honestly haven't sat down to think about it, to be honest. I mean, like, my class was mixed with people in science, arts, commercial, all of that stuff,
right?
So it's when we have our specific, you know, science related courses and stuff like that people sort of like scatter, right? But in the context of scattering, I would use technical drawing, for example, because ICT was something that was very compulsory. Physics, chemistry, biology, right? Those are like science courses. And this isn't only for tech people, it's for science people. So you'd see people that still want to be nurses, medical doctors, chemists, aeronautic engineers, you know, all the different kinds of things, chemical engineers.
Right.
They would still attend the physics, chemistry, and biology classes.
Right.
So it just looks like, it looks regular to me. Like, I didn't notice the gender disparity. But for courses like technical drawing and further math, it was clear. Like, so in further math, they were like, we used to call them further math boys, right? Because they were like up to, let's say, about 30 boys, and we were just 3 girls. And I think I would even say we were 2 girls, because at some point the third girl woke up and said she's not doing it again.
Oh no.
So so like in further math, right, we're just like 2 girls and a sea of boys in the class. And with technical drawing, it was kind of like the same scenario as well. We're like 3 girls. Yeah, I think we're 3 girls. Myself, Shion, and Joy. We're 3. And except I don't know if I'm forgetting someone else right now. But I think we were 3 girls in technical drawing. And everybody else was a guy. So like for those courses, it was clear. But I mean, at that time, I wasn't thinking about that. And I guess one of the reasons why I wasn't thinking about was about that was because I am the only girl in my family.
Right.
I mean, I don't have like 7 brothers. It's just 2. But like, I'm used to being the only girl around. So like when I was the only girl in school, it didn't seem weird. Right. So same thing with uni as well, right? Computer science, I don't remember the exact number, but let's say we were 100 in class and there were 75 boys. There were 25 girls. So there was the 3-to-1 ratio in some kind of way. Like when you think about, okay, 3 guys to 1 girl and stuff like that. That was kind of like how it was. And also at that time, I wasn't really thinking about the gender disparity as well, because like I said, I've always grown up around boys. And that's just like how it was. I only had my friends as girls that were my friends. But like in terms of daily interactions, even down to my house, it's like everybody around me is male, apart from my mom. So, right. So it was just like, it didn't seem weird until like I got into tech and I was hearing everyone talking about tech being a male-dominated industry. And I was like, that's true. Now that I think about it, I didn't realize. Yeah, so like that's how it was.
Right. I'm actually glad you stayed there, because that actually gets into my next question. PwC released a report about the tech industry, talking about the churn in there. So most of the time we do have a lot of, you know, programs in there for women to get into tech, but then sustaining the women in tech has become a huge issue. And then there's also the aspect of women not necessarily being interested in tech as a whole. I think it was PwC UK. How would you say it has been for you being in a male-dominated industry? I know you're all out there. You are doing stuff. You're rubbing shoulders with the big boys, and that is great. But then there is probably some reality that you people do not really see, that I would like us to, you know, delve into. What is it like being Adora in a male-dominated tech industry?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question. Right. And it still applies to my current reality, my current life, which is that I don't see gender, right? I see value.
Good.
I see. So like when people, I mean, I've had cases of like people disrespecting me, and I guess that's one of the reasons why I will still, when I'm talking to like other women, I'll try and inspire them and give them, you know, the confidence and things like that, because I understand that not everybody can be as, I don't want to use the term bold, but nothing else is coming to my mind. Not everybody can be as bold. Not everybody can speak up for themselves, right? For me, I would always speak up for myself. You can't bully me. And I think maybe the reason why is because I've been bullied before as a child in school. So it's like, I have PTSD from bullying, generally. So when it looks like I'm about to be bullied, something just wakes up in me and is like, even on social media, right? When it looks like I tweet something and it's getting into the wrong side of Twitter and people are about to bully me, I'm like, no, you can't bully me,
right?
Because I've been bullied before and I'm not going to let it happen again. So when I'm in those sorts of situations where maybe someone is maybe trying to bully me, because if you think about it, if you're thinking about disadvantage, I've carried everything. First of all, I'm female. Then I'm black. Then I'm young. Right?
So like on the African continent, for that matter, you have an accent.
And I'm not black like, oh, like
you're not,
I'm
black American. American. You have
I'm Nigerian.
You're a proud Nigerian with an accent, which is what we are very proud about.
So it's like, I have all the things that would make you want to write somebody off. Right? But like I said, my head is not correct and you can't bully me. So I wouldn't say, oh, this is how I feel working in a male-dominated industry. I've been sidelined. I've been this. I've been that. Because I honestly don't let it happen to me.
Right?
And I have never tied the reason. And maybe it is, but I haven't sat down deeply enough to think about it. But I've never tied the reason to my gender. I just always feel like people don't have sense, and when they show you that they don't have sense,
you believe them.
Believe them, yes, but also tell them that you're not going to take rubbish from them. Because like I've been in situations where I've worked with people either on projects or maybe some kind of partnerships and things like that, and somebody is trying to like make my work look less of what it's supposed to be. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to do this here. And it's like, maybe the next time or the next 2 times, you now see that, oh, they're suddenly being nice to me and things like that. But like I said, until recently, I never really sat down and thought about the fact that, oh, it's because I'm female. Right. And it's like, okay, if you show me that you are not a serious person, I would also tell you why you should not bring your own seriousness near me, right, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that has like always been my stance. That has always been like me generally, but I understand that not everyone is like me. Yeah. Not everyone wants to fight everybody.
Right. Right.
Not everyone wants to fight the bullies, right, or, you know, demand the respect.
Right.
Because to be honest, these are basic things that you should not even have to fight for in the first place if everybody was doing what they're supposed to do. So it's, and I've spoken to women that have had it a lot harder than, you know, I don't think I've even had this hard at all, to be fair. I've spoken to women that have had it like hard. Society also isn't nice to you, and like different things. So it's really not easy. I'm not going to lie, because first of all, they look down on you. And there's one pattern I've also noticed recently. It's like, everybody wants to advise women. Nobody actually wants to empower them. Only few people stepping up now are doing it. And there's sometimes that people are actually joining the bandwagon and empowering women because it's either profitable or because everyone else is doing it.
Diversity
not
higher.
Because, yeah, not because it's the right thing to do. So it's like a whole thing, but like, there's some people that are waking up and seeing the light, and there's some people that still need some form of enlightenment and growing up and things like that. But I guess, like, with time, we're not where I would like us to be, but there is a lot of progress if you check, like, between 7 years ago and right now, right? There are a lot more women actually saying they want to be in tech. When I was in school, like I said, we were not many. Even the people that were in my class with me that studied computer science, I promise you right now, only 3 girls that I know of are either software engineers or technical product managers. The rest have either started businesses or have done something else with their lives. Like, they're not even thinking about this whole tech thing, right? Fast forward to now, when we're seeing more women in technical and non-technical tech roles, which is like very good. So yeah, it's not where I would like us to be, but I think there's progress. Another thing about these things is that it wouldn't happen overnight. Right. It's gonna take some time.
Right.
I'm a very patient woman. I hope it happens in my generation though. But like, I would like to see, or rather I hope it happens in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But I would like to see some kind of change. I'd like to see a balance. I'd like to see mutual respect. But yeah, for now, let's just be seeing how it goes.
Exactly. You did mention that a lot of people are not looking out to empower women. A lot of them are just trying to join the bandwagon and just, you know, using women empowerment or women in tech as a publicity stunt. One of the reasons why I started this podcast was to have such conversations, and I've had 2 brilliant ladies on the pod, 2 other brilliant ladies in data science who are yet to, I'm yet to publish the episode. And my goal is to get people to understand that you don't need to be a woman to empower a woman. You can also be a man and understand that women are actually doing great things. I have a sister who's an engineer, and I grew up in a household where no one was made to think, I can't do this, you can't do it. My sister read mechanical engineering and goes into, like, you know, the engines, the FPS. She does the typical, what people will refer to as manly stuff. And honestly, when it comes to being under the engine, if you know me very well, you know that that is not my place. I would just do it because I want to tick a box or just trying to act manly. I'm more of, you know, the creative, the art side. So that is good. And I'm actually really glad that you mentioned that. Now, speaking about value, you did mention that you do see value. One of the episodes, one of the ladies was like, she's always encouraging women to know their stuff, because that way people do not think that you are just there as a diversity hire. Now, let's talk about value. You, for a long time, have built very solid value. Right now, your market value is over the top. Your CV, like, I don't think you need to write any experience on your CV. You just write your name and just put it there, just submit it, and you are good to go. Do you even have a CV? I'm just wondering. Do you have a CV?
I mean, like everybody does,
right? All right, okay, that's fine. But let's talk about value. You have, you know, strategically taken the time to build the value that you have now, not just by being on social media. And that's one thing I like about you. It's not just a social media kind of thing. You are showing the receipts, like we say in the generation. You have the receipts to show that this is what you're doing. You have a book. You've been to Stanford. You have a lot of things. You're an entrepreneur. We see you at the conferences. Let's talk value. How do you think people can kick that up a notch a little bit in terms of, or specifically for women, how can they increase their value in this rather male-dominated industry?
How can people increase their value? Contribute to things. I think one of the things is that many people come into tech thinking, and it's a mindset thing, and I say this all the time, right? Many people come into tech, and even life generally, relationships, like friendships, different things, right? Everybody comes in with a, what can I take, as opposed to what can I give? And that's where the problem actually starts from. Because if you are thinking about what you can give, what you can contribute to something, and how you can make it better, then everything else eventually will just be organic, right? Because at the end of the day, I saw something on somebody's Instagram bio a while back where he said, people are not looking for you, they're looking for what you're carrying. So the point is, if you were doing something, people will look for you, and like people will look for that thing, and obviously in the process they will find you. And by then you can actually filter where you want to be putting your energy, because it's not everything that comes your way that you agree to. It's like, okay, do I want to be spending my time here? Do I want to be spending my time at this conference? Do I want to be spending my time with this partnership? Do I want to be spending my time in this community? But like, it's going to be easier because now you are the one doing the attracting, as opposed to doing the chasing.
Right.
So it should always be about giving, and that's how I look at life. I basically, and that's my philosophy as well, where I feel like I have so many gifts. I mean, recently people found out that I could sing and they were quite shocked.
Listen, not people, me, because I saw the place. I was like, Adora, not again. The next thing I'll see is Adora has like Adora cooking channel. I was like, okay, there we go. I mean, she's taking over the world.
I mean, like, I mean, like, that's not so far.
Okay.
Because like I experiment with like different recipes and things.
Okay.
I don't take the time to shoot the videos, of which I was actually doing that during the lockdown. I was doing that during the COVID lockdown. So Adora Cooking Channel has existed and has closed. I mean, it has closed down already. It didn't last for long. But
We are revamping that. Adora, we are bringing it back. But yeah, you're talking about giving. Yeah.
Yeah, so like it should be about giving, right? It should be about, okay, my philosophy is more give what you have, give what you are, and die empty, right? I think that there was a person, one of my friends, was actually telling me that a famous person, I don't really remember, said, like, there was a quote from a famous person that said that a lot of talents are in the graveyard.
Yeah, I think it's Miles Monroe. I've heard Miles Monroe say that too. That's the largest I think storehouse for a lot of talents is in the graveyard.
It's in the graveyard, yeah. Because people come and then they die with all of the gifts that they have, as opposed to giving it. And that's what I'm trying to do. It's like give everything, you know, share the gifts, share the inspiration, share the knowledge, you know, and also learn, because you would learn. I learn every day, right? But me, I'm a my model for learning is I'm a last born, so I'm stubborn.
High five.
So I will typically fight, I will typically fight before I embrace something. I'll fight something before I agree with it.
Right.
Because of my stubborn, you know, last born nature. But the point is, I am always learning. I never stop. And I always give as well. Like, give what I've learned, give my time, give my talent. And I think giving is actually what has brought me to where I am.
Right.
I don't know. When people say things like, oh, you are this, you are that, you are where you are. I think I'm a regular human being. So when people say all these things, I'm always like, are you serious? I didn't even know. But like, I don't think I am successful, if that makes sense. I think there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen for me. And I'm just winging it and enjoying the moment and learning while at it and building the connections and building my career while at it. I feel like I'm still in my years of building. I'm not close to anything or close to anywhere, even if people think, you know, differently.
Right.
But that's just how I'm wired.
Well,
and for me, the most important thing is to give, right? Give the knowledge. When people reach out to you for a particular thing, if you have the opportunity to do it, accept to do it. It's not really going to take anything from you. But that thing might be what would bless somebody else, right? So there's just always that thing for me. It's like, give. But make sure that what you are giving or what you are sharing is something relevant to either the kind of career you want to build, relevant to society, relevant to yourself in some other way, even if it's beyond your career, or something, you know, like there should be a reason, right? Things shouldn't just be done pointlessly or without tact, right? There should be a reason for something. That I think that's how I will say it. That's how I'll say it.
That's perfect. Speaking of giving, you have given a lot. And you have given us an amazing book. And I'm just intrigued about authorship. What led you there? I know you've shared the story a lot about your cloud book and everything. I'm just curious about you as an author giving back to us. If you can, the shortest amount of time, tell us, is it out of this philosophy of giving that you just woke up, you know what, I want to write a book, and then you just decide to share it?
Well, no, it wasn't going to be a book before. So it started from me wanting to teach about the cloud, right? For a very long time, I struggled with, I don't want to say identity crisis, but like, I used to be an Android dev, right? And then I was a full stack dev as well. And then I joined Microsoft, and then I started working on device, like the mixed reality headset.
Right.
And it's like, I wasn't really sure. Like, if you ask me what I am, I will just tell you that I'm a software engineer. But it's like, okay, where do you play? It's like, oh, I play mobile, I play on device, I build SDKs, and then I build websites. It was just like all over the place. And I remember that I wanted to find something and learn it so well and teach it and make it mine. Right? And for a very long time, that thing was Android. But like I said, you know, joining a new company, taking on a new role, my focus sort of changed. So for me, it was like, okay, everybody around me was talking about, you know, cloud stuff, DevOps, CI/CD. Like, you know how open offices are. You're sitting at the office. Right. Somebody is talking about build pipeline and release pipeline. It's flying over your head.
Right.
And you're like, okay, these things sound... I mean, I knew the concept of the cloud because, like I said, I have a CS degree. I learned this thing in school. Cloud service models, cloud deployment models, all the basic stuff you need to know.
Right.
And I knew how to like start a pipeline workflow to do a deployment because you have to deploy stuff to a server anyway. But the other deep stuff is something that I was learning as the days were going by. And there are some things that people would say that would fly over my head and I wouldn't really understand. So I made up my mind that, okay, you know what? I'm going to understand this thing and I'm going to teach it. And at that time, I was doing my YouTube channel consistently. So the plan was probably to create like a YouTube playlist or something for cloud engineering and just like, you know, do it. And I think I made like 2 videos on YouTube and I gave a lot of talks as well. Like I was doing a lot of public speaking on cloud related stuff at the time. But one day randomly it was just like write a book. So like it was just one of those things that drop in your head after a while of teaching about, because I had thought about the cloud. I had spoken at some cloud engineering summits. Diplomi Cloud Engineering Summit back to back for 2 years. I'd spoken at the Linux Foundation. I think it was Cloud Native Day or something like that. I had spoken in some like Nigerian events as well, and I'd spoken about the cloud. I'd spoken in different places, somewhere global, somewhere, you know, Nigerian, somewhere smaller webinars, somewhere bigger events.
Right.
And I was talking about the cloud, and I was just like, okay, maybe I should just write a book. Right. And that was pretty much what happened. And I told one of my friends at the time that, yo, I want to write a book. And he was like, please go and write it though. Go and write it. And that was pretty much it. And I think that if I had told somebody else and they had said, don't write it, maybe by now I wouldn't have written it. So sometimes the people you have around you as well plays like a huge, like they play a huge role in how your life actually turns out and the kinds of things you do and, you know, your path and stuff like that. So I always tell people to surround themselves with people that can build you as opposed to tearing you down. Surround yourself with positive. The energy you surround yourself with is so important because you would never always have 100%. The same way sometimes people need your 100%. It's the same way sometimes you need other people's 100%. And if you're always surrounded with negative energy, at some point, it's going to show in the kind of life that you live.
You become negative eventually.
You become negative eventually. I'm so happy and I'm so blessed with the support system that I have in my friends. Like, I'm not even talking about family now because that one is a no-brainer. They are stuck with me.
They are stuck with me. They don't have an option.
They don't have a choice. But like my friends, especially my female friends, my female friendships, like the sisterhood that we share, like that
no bond competition, so, nothing. Just
no competition. It's just pure good vibes, trying to help each other grow and things like that. And it's like, I sat down and I thought about it recently. It's like, how did I get blessed with so many amazing women at the same time? Do you get what I mean?
Right.
So me, I think that the energy you surround yourself with is very, very, very important. Yes, I have some male friends as well. I banter with them on social media. There's even one particular male friend that people think I'm dating. And I think
because of banter. Oh my goodness.
Because of banter. And I'm always telling him, please post your girlfriend.
So that I can have some peace.
I can rest. Yeah. I need to rest. Please. Post her.
Right.
But like, I'm blessed with like amazing support and I'm really thankful for it.
That is amazing. Speaking about community, I think what you're doing naturally is already community building, and I'm sure you are part of some communities. How would you say community has played a huge role in you becoming Adora, the brilliant techie that we know? I'm sure you've already mentioned your friends. I'm not necessarily saying that they are all of them are techies. They may be from different industries, which is also very important to have diverse people. But let's focus a little bit in the tech space, community building. You see it all out there. People are doing women in this, women in that, and it's good, it's great. But how key has that been for you as Adora in building you to become the person that you are today?
It's actually very recent because, I mean, I've been doing tech since I was... I don't want to say I've been doing tech since I was a child, because even if I was, I wouldn't count that.
Right.
But like in uni was when I started taking my tech career very seriously. I used to go to, I went to UNILAG, right? University of Lagos, for some people listening that don't know what it is. I went to UNILAG and I've, you know, during that time from school, sometimes I'll go to CC Hub when they're having a, when they're having an event, I'll go to IDEA. IDEA was right beside CC Hub. They were both hubs in Yaba. And I was like meeting people. Some people were building like their startups and I was like meeting those people. I met my first ever mentor in that setting. And this is someone that, you know, obviously gave me career advice and plug me to the right things, to the right people. So community building, like, okay, the cluster of people and events and things like that, that's very recent for me, I'll be very honest. But like networking through communities is something I've been doing for a while, and because I do only network through communities. If you throw me anywhere, I would network. Like, that's one thing. I consider myself, when I'm in the mood, shall, because sometimes I'm not. But when I'm in the mood, I think I am a social butterfly, right? So if you throw me into any situation, like, I'm not that person that is afraid to walk up to someone and get their phone number, even if they're a stranger. I'm never that person. Like, I'll walk up to them and I'll get their phone number, and I'll come and tell you, this is their phone number. Are you going to text them, or should I text them on your behalf? Like, I've even done it for my friends in the past, right? So it's very easy for me to meet people, start conversations. And I think networking is one thing that has helped me in my career a lot. Just being connected to the right people, plugged into the right networks. Right. And it has done a lot for me. Right. In terms of community building, I consider communities as a way for me to give back, because of the nature of the communities in Nigeria, right? The tech communities are mostly filled with people starting their tech careers.
Right.
And to be honest, I'm not starting my tech career. So that place is not where I go to seek value, is where I go to give. Right. And that's how, so yeah, and I recently started doing that, like, what, 4 years ago? Right. Like, when I was already, like, mid-level in my career was when I decided that I, you know, actually wanted to start doing, like, all of these community related things.
Right.
So yeah, I think I'll just say that.
That's great. Now let's get a little bit into a bit of some details. I'm sure people are out there and they're seeing Adora, the amazing, brilliant lady. What has made you cry on this tech journey? You don't have to necessarily have to mention names, mention a scenario, but maybe just give us an idea of what really made you shed a tear in this tech journey.
What has made me cry? Okay. I recently resigned from my job at Microsoft a couple of months ago.
Right.
And I mean, like, I resigned, I moved to a new country, I've become a digital nomad, I'm earning in a different currency, my life is amazing.
Right.
Like, you know that there are just some times when things will happen in your new job and you'll be like, did I make a mistake?
Right.
So, yeah, that has made me cry a few times and I'm still like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? I want to go back, can I go back? Like, yeah, but like, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's like the most recent thing that pops into my head when I'm thinking about, like, what has made me cry in tech and stuff like that. It's just like, I think, what's that thing called in business? Buyer's remorse, right? It's like, okay, you invest in something, but then at some point you're thinking, like, did I invest in the wrong thing?
Right.
Did I make a mistake? Should I have done that? Should I have just, like, stayed put? So yeah, that made me cry pretty recently.
I'm actually glad you've mentioned this and you've actually been very vulnerable in saying that you do cry, because people have this idea of, you know, shedding a tear is a sign of weakness, but sometimes you just need to just clean your eyeballs.
I
accept my weakness, Shah.
No, but that's the thing. I'm always crying, but most times it's like tears of joy. But like, my friends know me. Any small thing like this, tears. Like, I don't even, you can't look for tears with me. Like, they just drop. It's crazy,
and
right?
That's it. I think if we're emotional beings, just shed it. It doesn't take anything away from you. It doesn't take your strength. It doesn't take your value away. You understand me? That is amazing. I'm actually glad you said that. Now, speaking about you, say, being a founder, let's just talk a little bit about how that has been, maybe in a few words, walk us through what led you to becoming a founder, and then we can get into some interesting stuff after.
I'll just quickly say that sometimes when people hear founder, they think I'm building a startup. I'm a non-profit founder, first of all. Just like, this is a disclaimer, it's a non-profit. And the truth is, the reason why I started doing this whole Nexa Skill thing was because I wanted to help. Again, it goes back to giving back to the community, right? And the truth is, everything Nexa Skill is everything Adora was before Nexa Skill. But I wanted to scale that impact. So, for example, helping people find jobs, it's not the first time. 3 years ago, one time, I just randomly tweeted, if you're an entry-level or a mid-level person, this is a spreadsheet. Put your details. I want to find jobs for some of you. And I remember some of them put their details. I connected them with, like, the different founders that I had connected with, you know, at that time that were trying to hire, like, mid-level, entry-level talent. Some of them are, you know, in those companies, Nigerian startups today. Right. Some of them even got lucky and they've worked in those places and they've gotten experience and they've resigned and they're in Germany now. Like, different things have happened since 3 years ago when I made that tweet and created that spreadsheet. And, you know, once in a while, give out laptops as well. Give out airtime, give out courses, give out different things. So for me, it was like, I want to scale this impact. I want to be able to give more people things because I can, you know, reach out to, I can form partnerships with organizations that are willing to, you know, sort of like make this impact. And we can create a model that works, that possibly other communities can even replicate. Because the truth is, NexaScale should not be the only one doing these things. If we are going to actually make the impact we want to make and change the world in the way we want to change it and build tech communities in the way we want to do it, only one community cannot be doing all of these things, you know. So for me, it was just, okay, how do we make this impact? How do we create this model that other people can replicate? Right. How do we, and for me, it's just like, okay, start this thing, make it formal, make it out, take it outside of yourself, outside of your brand. So although NexaScale is an extension of me, but now I think it has become even bigger than me.
Wow.
Because now, like, I've added people inside it that are not me, obviously. And there's like a whole team.
Right.
But yeah, the point was just to scale that impact that Adora was already making in tech and formalize things so that we can even push to helping more people. That was
amazing. Amazing. Now, we can see that you're very creative, right? We've seen you sing. We've seen you tour the world. We've seen you have a great social media time. I want to give you two options. I want you to explain cloud concepts to a market woman, maybe in Yaba, or compose a song for us with just a few cloud concepts or anything around tech, just in a few seconds. It's just up to you. I can give you a few minutes to prepare it, or you just do it on top of your head. There's no wrong answer. We just want to just tap into a bit of your creative side.
Explain cloud concepts.
So cloud concepts or any tech concept, either maybe use it in like in the form of a song, a rap, or maybe explain a tech concept to like a market woman, maybe using some ingredients or something, you know, just feel free, maybe in a minute or two.
Okay. This is putting me on the spot. So I honestly, unfortunately, cannot do this.
Oh.
I will try my best.
Sure, take your time.
I'm going to explain about a data structure
hybrid. So to a market woman, right?
To you.
Okay. Well, I'm about to get ready to go to Yaba. Yes. Okay, go for it.
Data structure using Bread. So okay. I'm going to talk about stacks. A stack is a data structure, first of all, is how data is arranged, right? Is how data is arranged for people to use it. So data structures make it easy for people to find things, look for things, or add things to an existing collection. For example, if you want to, as a market woman in Balogun Market or Yaba Market, for example, if you were selling your lace, your Hollandis, you folded it and you put it somewhere. And when someone says, oh, I want this particular brand, you know exactly where to go and pick it up. You are a lot more organized than someone that has Okirika on the floor and is ringing bell and telling people to come and start picking stuff on the floor, come and pick the one you want. And you are really looking for what you want and you can't find it because everything is scattered on the floor. I mean, like, if you are going to find things, it's going to be faster in a more organized environment than in a chaotic environment. And data structures allow us organize data in this concept, data is clothes.
Mm.
So yeah, I said I was going to use braid, but somehow I ended up using lace.
Let's go for it.
I think I tried.
You tried. That was actually amazing. And in fact, when you just went there, I've always seen the concept of stacks in the market with lace and everything, but it would have never crossed my mind how you just brought that in. That is very, very great. Adora, you are brilliant. I know you don't, I'm sure you hear this a lot before. I'm sure before every talk, they give you this long intro about you and everything. But I am very keen on just letting you know that you are really inspiring people, including myself.
Thank you. My pod,
when I started, I was in my head for a while, you know, do I start this? What's it going to look like? For me, as you really went to tech, like you went to uni to study tech, tech was like a mistake for me. I was not really excited. I didn't even do well as much as I wanted to. But seeing how opportunities have come my way, I've been able to move from Ghana to France, stay there for 3 years, then now got the chance to go to come to the UK to work and work as a data consultant. And I've also done the AWS solutions architect, a bit of cloud here, there, and also started this podcast as well as, you know, mentoring people. It's just reminded me of how important it is to give. And when I just see you always with your brilliant smile, looking all radiant, telling people that, look, you can do it. I may not be in the same space with you, but I can just give you a tap on the back to get you started. It's always, always, you know, nice seeing you on my feed. Like when I just see, I'm like, you know, I'm watching that story, whether it's something I understand or not. But thank you so much. In your final words, right, I want you to just give your best advice to a lady. Like you said, most of the communities you go to give back to are people who are starting their tech careers. In a minute or two, just an advice to a lady who is yet to start this journey and one who is currently in the space thinking about all the challenges they're facing. Just your final warm embrace of Adora.
I think what I would say is, if there's anything you want to do, go ahead and do it. The worst thing anybody will do is that they will reject you, which is the same state that you are currently in because you didn't get what you wanted. The best thing, on the other hand, is that they accept you and that will change your life. So if you think about it, you have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to possibly gain. While you are chasing those things, make sure that you are learning, make sure that you are adding value as well, and make sure that you are connecting with people, because these are the top three things that you would need when it's time to show evidence. Learning, because you need to show what you've learned.
Right.
Connecting with people, because people move around and people know people. And one person that you know might be the person that would give you the recommendation into the company that you get the job in that can actually propel your career for success. And adding value is what gets people to notice you and constantly see track records of amazing things that you've done. See the evidence that you are not all words and no action, but it's the other way around. So make sure that you are learning, you are adding value, and you are connecting with people. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I can't wait to see what you do, and good luck, basically.
Thank you so much, Adora. Thank you so, so much for making time to join the Tech Sub Podcast. I really, really, really appreciate your time here.
Thank you.
Indeed, tech and engineering are witnessing transformative changes, driven by the relentless efforts of great leaders like Adora. Her inspiring story reminds us that change in this narrative isn't reserved for one, but is the duty of all. Everyone must get involved, as women are equally valuable and capable of contributing greatly to these fields. Thank you for listening. See you in the next episode.